Welcome to Millie Salmon and the Infinite Shop. This is Chapter 19, Adventure Begins. Millie has secured the shop and her place in it. It's time to get back to just enjoying her friends and her spring break. I'm the author, Ray Dubicki, and I'm happy to read this story to you. Let's wrap up this novel. You can join Millie Salmon on Patreon or find more at milliesalmon.com. And you can follow this podcast and other stories on social media at Infinite Shop Limited. Chapter 19, Adventure Begins. Saturday dissolved in a pile of blankets, Sunday in headphones on the couch. The house was quiet for the first 2 days of spring break. Monday actually opened bright and sunny, but only in very specific sunbeams that were few and far between. Millie missed this for several hours as she took her first official day of spring break and slept in hard. She reached out to get her phone. It felt off in shape, weight, and location. A new device was sitting on top of her phone. She picked up the small block with a stub antenna. It looked like the walkie-talkies Dad had her carry when she was much smaller and went to the park for the first times alone. But this one had a small red button covered with a slide, just like the red alert button on Mom's second phone. It felt like time to get a couple days' grime off, so Millie went through the shower routine. Clothes, teeth, brush hair. She looked into the mirror. The highlight, a long streak on the right side, had been dark purple for almost a month. It was faded in to keep tone with the rest of her dark hair. Enough for her to know it was there, but not quite enough there to be a shock to everyone at school. From her box of rings, she took the one that came from Dalen. She turned the ring to a lighter violet and went over the right side again. That did match her eyes. She did it on the left, too. She left the two colored anime strands to frame her face and pulled the rest back in a ponytail. Her charm bracelets were laid out on her desk, the ones with circuitry set to the side. She considered the collection carefully. She patted the powerful band of controls and thought about leaving them for the day. Nah, she said to herself, and put a stack of bracelets on the right arm and the charms with the remotes for the shop on her left. The living room was silent, now approaching noon. Dad left a note saying he was out with Evan until after lunch. Millie wrote a reply note and stuck it to the bottom of Dad's. Roaming countryside. She peeled it off, then reattached it to align perfectly. Reggie was pleased that Millie emerged from hiding. Her text on Friday night was cryptic enough that both boys were left to chat with themselves for the weekend. But not after a moment of confusion. Life imploded, Millie had sent. Reggie originally misunderstood the note, thinking it was about the bus that seemed to have exploded on the other side of the neighborhood. Him and Pats had spent an hour watching that after a leisurely walk from school and a large boba. The thing didn't look exactly like a bus, but really it didn't look like much after melting. It took Pats to point out the melting bus was an explosion, not implosion, and Millie had tagged it as being about life, not transit. So they kept their pictures and videos to themselves and went about their weekends without Millie. The busted bus left Reggie's mind by the time Millie caught up 3 days later, and he was ready to get underway with assaulting this new Elven Gap DLC, even without Pats. Millie and Reggie set up in the library Wi-Fi and relaxed with their handheld games in the teen area with headphones in. they sat in the oversized boxy chairs facing each other, with bags on the table between them. Millie felt her brain pour into the game. It wasn't a complex one most of the time. Long runs across fields, picking up sparkly resources, hacking down the occasional enemy. There were even times for a little light fishing and cooking. They had a long walk to make before they even got to the territory with the new game portion. The switches in her brain that spent a month devoted to tracking large numbers and checking gauges began to reset into their normal neutral positions. One by one, they realized they didn't need to run on furious panic mode and wobbled out of full power. Not off, more standby. Millie kind of liked knowing that they could all be thrown, but it made the keyboard behind her eyes feel like her brain was running hot. And now it didn't need to be. She let thumb muscles take over and melded into the ambient music. Even the kickover to fighting or mini-boss music didn't shake Millie out of calm. Her and Reggie noodled through the long trek across the kingdom of Navinut to the Calvish dungeon. They sank lower in the chairs as the dull shadows from the windows rotated across the library floor. They reflected each other, almost horizontal, when Pats found them after his shift at the youth club. "I don't know if your people are carpeting." Millie pulled off her headphones. "How was counseling?" "They put me with the first graders. All of them are this tall." Pats put a hand on his waist. "I can lift six of them at a time." There was something about Pat's beaming exhaustion that said he'd found something he liked better than vampire comics. "Do you want to hit the coffee shop?" They did. Reggie had given up on his overall plan for the week of spring break, but he did have a list of things that he was going to try to stick to. That included keeping a boba for Friday and getting other treats from other shops in the neighborhood the rest of the days. Monday was for Italian sodas, he said, and he wanted to try the coffee shop they usually skipped. The second one, across from the shop. Millie found this suspiciously convenient. They emerged from the coffee shop with trash can-sized cups, each top half milky ice. The bottoms were syrupy and fluorescent. Green apple for Reggie, orange for Pats, and huckleberry for Millie. "Let me save us some time. Do you want to go into the shop?" Millie asked. "What do you mean?" Reggie said innocently. "You were going to say, while we're here, and suggest we go into the shop, probably to pick up a comic book. Everything is fine. We can go in again without my parents." "Are you sure?" Pats asked. "Absolutely." Millie wasn't sure. She'd gone into the shop plenty to investigate the machine room, but not recreationally with her friends in quite a few weeks. But she did think she was on the good side of parents at the moment, and Grandpa would be there. She didn't need to worry. Dad was there too, pulled up to the counter with Evan in a stroller and talking to Grandpa.
"Welcome back, friends," Grandpa, delighted to see the boys. "How is spring break starting, Quibby?"
Dad gave a nod of assent. Millie felt relief. It was tinged with irritation that she wasn't going to get full resolution on being universally back loud into the shop. At least not in this trip, but she could let go of the question of being in trouble. "It's good, Grandpa. We're trying the Italian sodas from across the street." Grandpa surveyed the colors and picked out Pat's.
"Orange is my favorite."
"It's transcendent," Pat said.
Are we doing comic books today or something a little different for the week of vacation?
I have some vacuum bubbles to catch up on, Reggie volunteered. Millie was thinking about seeing if she could branch out from the Norse mythology she had enjoyed. Do we have any comics about history that's... She was cut off by the bell ringing at the front door. A customer entered. Millie caught they were Tristeron Sisterhood. Similarly immense to the first member Millie had encountered, this sister had only four sleeping babies slung across her back. Her orange face paint was highlighted sky blue around the eyes. Grandpa directed her to the mysteries. Millie continued her thought. Reggie and Pats did not, startled. Millie saw her father look between the new shopper and the two friends, specifically Reggie and Pat's expressions. He was realizing that they knew about the shop. Dad's reaction turned sour very quickly. Millie, he whisper yelled through his teeth. Did you tell everyone? Did you show them your phone? Your card game book? Millie felt her recently almost recovered freedoms quickly sapping away. This time for something she really hadn't done. Dad, no, they figured it out well before that on their own. Reggie caught the issue quickly and jumped in to defend his friend. We told her about weird stuff. She told us nothing. What weird stuff? Dad asked. When our Spanish app wasn't speaking in Spanish anymore, Reggie strategically omitted Firth's participation in their finding out. That doesn't... Can you show me what you mean? Both boys pulled out their phones and opened the next lesson on the language software. Reggie was not impressed at his giant zero-day streak next to Pat's 740, but it was plain they were absolutely mostly honest when the app's voices were plain and understandable in their brains. Reggie's app wanted him to translate, "The bear drank wine and ate cheese in Remington." Pat's had him translating, "The mountain is a place of love and clouds." There was no need to translate inside the shop. Dad looked deflated for a minute, then bobbed his head back and forth like he was playing with an idea. Reggie, I'll call your parents and we can have dinner. I can keep a secret. Absolutely not. I totally can. No one knows about Michelle's stash of things in the thing. Dad actually snorted. First, I'm certain they do. Second, it's never appropriate for me as an adult to tell you as a kid to keep any sort of secret from your family. Dad played with his thumbnail for a moment, thinking. And? Reggie asked. And what? What about Pat's family? Oh, said Dad, a little startled from the thought. I will invite your mom over for a beverage. Sorry, Pats. I didn't mean to forget you. Pats did not find this overlooking particularly accidental. My mom already knows, doesn't she? Millie didn't catch it quite that way, but Dad was usually much more thoughtful of Pats. Is that true? Is Miss Ava among the knowledgeable? Dad looked more deflated. I used to be much better at this. No, you didn't, Millie grinned. We were just younger. Dad leveled Millie with a look. So was I. They left the shop into clear afternoon with even clearer instructions that there were no secrets from parents, only very short time delays. Dad was messaging the Tarascals as they exited. The sun was peeking out, and it was just on the edge of warm, the first hints of really moving into comfortable weather after soggy and cool winter. The days would get longer, as would their time outside. The long dark seemed to be breaking, in ways more than the weather, so they walked to the park. They gave the playground a wide circle, all of them suddenly a little too old and a little too tall to play on it easily. They went up the hill and looked out over the soccer fields and the fishing pond that was newly surrounded with lovely fresh plantings, paved walkways, and a fountain that could really put some water in the air. Reflexively, Millie had her drawing pad out on her lap, in position to draw, before she really felt like she was comfortable. She didn't open it, though. This drawing pad was in its last pages. To get to them, she'd have to flip through a lot. Her first sketches of Dalibertor, Dalin the hero, a long scratch where the pad had been pulled out from under her pencil. There were thin edges of torn-off pages still clinging to the spiral along the top, remnants of commission drawings, apology drawings, and past notes. Reggie and Pats sat on either side, quiet in their own thoughts. Millie could feel Reggie's coiled anticipation at having access to multiple worlds full of elaborate and complex adventures. He was probably trying to come up with an acronym ending in the word shenanigans. Pats, Millie was absolutely certain, sat processing whether he was from Earth. "It doesn't matter," she said aloud. "What doesn't matter?" "Mom said it. Today I'm from Earth. Might not always have been the case, and it may not always be the case forever. But today's been really good." She had hit on what Pats was thinking. He really did have a great day training as a counselor for the little kids. But he picked up the line headed away. "You don't think you'll be on Earth forever?" "I don't know," Millie said. "But I'm really excited to find out what happens next." Reggie picked up the other half of the thought. "It has been a really good day. We do have to get further into the second part of the dungeon in order to pick up the Malign Justice Battle Axe and the Doubler spell. And Tuesday is for hot chocolates at the Lady Kitty's coffee stand." Pats took a minute to think of what place Reggie was talking about. The coffee stand with the bikini baristas? The women serving coffee in just bathing suits? Yeah, Michelle says they have really good hot chocolate." Millie looked at Reggie indignantly. "No, that's Michelle. No," she stammered. She shoved Reggie down the hill. He rolled, only coming to a stop at the bottom in a laughing heap. Millie looked at Pats, who shrugged. They followed their friend, all ending up at the bottom, also laughing like maniacs. This was Millie Salmon and the Infinite Shop, Chapter 19, Adventure Begins. We have reached the end of this Millie Salmon story. Thank you for listening. I really appreciate you joining me on this adventure and look forward to offering more Millie stories in the future. You can find more about Millie at milliesalmon.com or join us on Patreon. Please like, subscribe, and leave a review on whichever podcast app you use. Millie Salmon and the Infinite Shop is a production of Infinite Shop Limited, which you can follow on all social media platforms. We're going to take a few weeks off and be back with a grand adventure about touring national parks on another world. I'm Ray Dubicki. Thank you for listening. And I look forward to reading some more new stories for you soon.